frank, informative, fun, personal, casual. Real talk, real people. Our one-on-one starts the conversation for you.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Our One-on-One. I'm your host, Scott Sylvia, and this is the Our One-on-One podcast, devoted to opening doors for our world to connect, interact, and just plain get to know one another. All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of Our One-on-One. This is podcast number 15. I have Jason Alder from Healthful Chiropractic with me today. Welcome, Jason.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Awesome. So you heard about Our One-on-One through the McKinney Chamber of Commerce, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, and I know you've listened to a few, so you kind of know where I start.
Yeah.
Let me know, where did you start?
Well, I guess as they say, it was a stormy night in Wyoming.
Okay.
My parents were living in Wyoming at the time. I kind of come from all the Northwest states, and so.
But you were born in Wyoming.
Yep.
Which city?
Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Okay, where's that?
It's kind of in the corner up by you know where Utah kind of makes that 90-degree uh-huh. turn. It's kind of right in that where that turn would be.
Okay.
So
did you grow up there? Did you spend your?
I did not. In fact, we probably lived there for maybe a year, maybe 2 years.
Okay.
I guess give you a little bit of history. My father is actually a Boy Scout.
Okay.
And in order to kind of move up in that profession or get promotions, and mm-hmm. He transfers to different jobs.
Okay.
And so we kind of lived through the Northwest. From Wyoming, we went to Idaho and then moved up to Oregon and Washington and okay. kind of settled in Colorado. I claim Colorado as my hometown there.
Nice. I love all those states. I actually lived in the Seattle area for a while from
okay.
from Tacoma up to Federal Way and Renton and Des Moines.
Sure,
and all those
sure,
places.
Sure. Yeah, no, we were in Spokane, so the eastern side.
Uh-huh. So what were you like as a kid?
Oh, boy. So I guess as a kid, you know, just probably a typical boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had some great places to be outdoors.
Yes. We spent a lot of time outdoors and kind of grew up at summer camp. That's where we spent our summers. And, you know, just probably your typical boy, maybe a little bit more mischievous. But
should I guess, since your father was a Boy Scout, you've gone all through the Boy Scout ranks?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Eagle Scout, I would assume.
That goes, yep, up awesome. Through there. I don't think there was any other expectation.
Yeah. Hey, I did the whole Cub Scout thing and then went to Boy Scouts for a very short period of time. But it has stuck with me for all these years because I can still remember that I am trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly,
there you
courteous,
go.
Kind, obedient, all the things that a Boy Scout is made up.
Perfect.
For
yes.
some reason, it stuck with me. So
yeah, never yeah. Got well, that's the purpose.
Yeah.
Get ingrained and live it. So.
Absolutely. So, did you enjoy school? I mean,
yep. So yeah, we enjoyed school. You know, I don't remember too much of school growing up in grade school, but once we got up into high school, you know, I like to say that you know, I used to play a lot of sports, mm-hmm. but the sports kind of outgrew me. I'm kind of a small guy, and by the time I got to high school, I was too small really for any type of competitive sport.
Yeah,
so.
I hear that time again. And then also something you said about not really remembering the earlier years. A few people that have sat in the chair and that I've spoken with that traveled might have been army brats or whatever
uh-huh.
Because they moved so much, which is kind of, you know, a long
sure.
life. Don't really remember those years as much as somebody sure. that may have stayed in one location for years uh-huh. and years uh-huh. and years. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, high school was great. I went to high school in a little town called Fruta, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Is that northern or?
That is western Colorado, okay. western slope. So uh-huh. it's probably an hour, maybe 45 minutes from Utah.
Okay.
So it's right there on the border of Colorado and Utah, and fabulous part of the country.
Uh-huh. Small town?
Small town.
Yeah.
Yep, fairly small town. It's grown, but it's a small town, you know. It was actually on what was it? Jay Letterman's show as the only town in America that had KFC, Subway, and Burger King, and no stoplights.
Wow.
So there are no stoplights, and well, there are now, but there weren't when I was going to school there.
I remember going to a graduation one time in a small town in Colorado, and it was a graduating class of 13.
Sure.
So yeah, there's a lot of small towns out there.
Yeah, but grew up riding my bike, very big into mountain biking and snow sports, as you mm-hmm, would mm-hmm. imagine. So, yeah.
So after high school, where'd you go? What was the story?
So after high school, I actually started a mission trip and lived in Brazil for a little while as a missionary preaching the gospel and
what was that like for you?
It was wonderful.
In Brazil.
It was wonderful. Brazil, you know, all the Latin American countries kind of have a different take on life than we do here in the United States. In the United States, we kind of, it's almost like we're workaholics. Mm-hmm. 40 hours a week isn't enough.
Right, right.
And so, you know, from a teenager until, you know, you're grown, you're older, you're still working. They have kind of a saying in Latin America, you work so that you can live. Mm-hmm. And I think the reverse is true here in America. We kind of live so that we can work.
Yeah. So when you saw that, I mean, was it just people were happier? Were they doing a lot more?
Oh, yeah. There was a whole lot more community involvement. You know, neighbors actually talked to each other. Mm-hmm. There weren't 10-foot fences between the houses.
Sure.
The neighborhoods would, you know, once the sun went down, you know, they would sit around, and actually I was in the south of Brazil mostly, and so they would drink this tea called chimarrão. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this herbal tea, and they would drink it, and then they would pass it on, they'd refill it, and
right.
So the same cup went, you know, passed around to everybody, and it was just a beautiful tradition, you know. It was every night, and it was
Now do they speak Spanish there or Portuguese?
It's Portuguese.
Portuguese, okay.
Yeah.
My last name is Sylvia is a very Portuguese
last name.
Yeah, well, Portuguese
I saw that. I saw that, and I was wondering, but sure. Well,
back in my hometown in Massachusetts, there was 106 Sylvias in the phone book. It's the equivalent of the Smiths.
It's the equivalent of the Smiths, and there are a lot of Sylvias.
So did you know how to speak Portuguese before you got there?
No. Nope.
Did you learn it?
You learn it. You know, it just comes with being down there and being engulfed in the culture, you know.
And how long did you say you were?
So we were down there for 24 months.
Okay.
Just kind of going out, but it was, you know, it was a great time. It's actually been 10 years since I've been home, so unfortunately a lot of the Portuguese has kind of slipped,
right?
If you don't keep it up,
you
kind of lose it, but it was wonderful.
Okay. And then so after your mission trip to Brazil,
I started into college. Mm-hmm.
Where?
In Grand Junction. Mm-hmm. Mesa State is where I started, and it was my goal to be a ski bum.
Yeah.
That was what I wanted to become. And, you know, live up on the mountains, do ski trips, do ski teaching, and just do all these winter activities.
Right.
And I met my wife, and she kind of helped me get over that.
She changed your mind a little bit.
She helped me realize that there's a different way that we can live. So
how'd you meet your wife?
Again, through school and through church. She was actually my tutor. She tutored me in math a little bit,
and she taught you what 1 + 1 equaled.
that's kind of what it was. That's kind of what it was. And
awesome.
You know, in high school, I developed some skills in fixing cars, and you know, I did a lot of auto mechanics outside of school. You know, I fixed her car. She kind of taught me a little bit, and I fixed her car, and it just grew from there.
Great. I always love hearing, you know, how marriages begin and
sure.
You know, how people meet, because it's a neat story. And because I have so many friends, they're always going, how did you meet your wife?
Sure.
You know, because they're always looking for the answers. And, you know, unfortunately today, everybody's logging on to meet their
Their
potential.
Yeah, I never participated in that. That seems
yeah.
That's not my way to go.
So after college, I mean, did you get married shortly after college?
Yep, we got married. I was let's see, it's my second year in undergraduate school, and we actually moved to another city called Greeley in Colorado, and
that's where Greeley. That my in-laws lived in Milliken, which was a small town.
Perfect, sure, very close. So I finished up my degree in kinesiology and exercise science there, and at University of Northern Colorado, and it was there that I really developed, or I really came to appreciate chiropractic. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, I'm really big into biking, and so
I ride mountain biking, or do you road bike?
Mountain biking mostly, mm-hmm. but you know, when there's no mountains, I ride on the road.
Yeah, we're living here in Texas.
Yeah. And so I would commute anywhere I wanted to go with my bicycle. Mm-hmm. And so there, I had a pretty bad accident one time, flipped over the handlebars and landed on my back, and was had a lot of road rash and bruising and everything. But I also had this striking pain kind of in my upper back, mm-hmm. and I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. And I sat in my chair, you know, I couldn't really lay down because I couldn't breathe. I had to sit up, and I sat like that for 2 or 3 days, and I was like just kind of moaning and groaning, oh man, my life is over.
Mm-hmm. Had you gotten an x-rays, or were you?
I had not gotten x-rays. Okay. We were just married and into school, and mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't something that I thought that we could get very, very easily.
Gotcha.
Financially.
Gotcha.
And so I was like, okay, you know, that's something. I can't just sit here in this chair. I got to go and do something. Mm-hmm. So I went to see a chiropractor. He looked at me and he said, oh yeah, this is something that we see a lot in rodeo people. Hmm. And so he laid me down. And apparently a rib had gone out and was kind of irritating my back and my spine. And so he laid me down and gave me the one crunch, and it was like a miracle.
Wow.
And I could breathe, and I was like, wow, this guy knows how to help people. Mm-hmm. This guy knows how to heal people.
So that started your passion, or interest anyway.
My interest, I started my interest in chiropractic, and it just continued to grow, you know, as being a patient and becoming immersed in this idea of the body being able to heal itself.
Right.
And so I applied for college, for chiropractic college, and I was accepted in the Palmer Chiropractic College.
Where's that?
Program in Florida.
Okay.
In Daytona Beach, Florida. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long is the program?
Boy, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
They have it set up so that it's just over 3 years, mm-hmm. but they're 10-week quarters, and they cram 30 credit hours into 10 weeks.
Oh.
So it's year round.
Very intensive.
It's very intensive. You're at school all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you know, the program was incredible. Again, you know, you learn the traditional chiropractic methods of how to correct people and how to help people get well. But you also learn a lot of kind of the philosophy of well, you know, chiropractic is it's based on the fact that everybody has intelligence inside them.
Mm-hmm.
When you cut yourself, you know, it's going to heal.
Right.
You don't have to
the
do anything.
Knows, right,
the body knows how to heal itself. There's this intelligence within us that where health comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big idea is that, you know, as we can tap into that intelligence within our body, or as we can express that intelligence, then we can be healthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so
now you'd mentioned a wife, any children, family?
That's a good question. We actually just have a 3-month-old.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations.
Born. Yeah.
Now I've heard before that, chiropractic can start at a very early age, and a lot of chiropractors recommend it. I don't know if 3 months is too early, but, what's your whole take on infant chiropractic?
So I say my oldest patient that I've ever had was 97 years old.
Okay.
My youngest patient was probably about 97 seconds old.
Wow.
So and that's my little Talia, a little baby girl.
Oh. So tell me, at 97 seconds, what are you doing, or other than holding?
Other
and it's
than
a
holding
her,
her.
You said Talia, right?
Yep, Talia. Yep. You know, it's been demonstrated that 80% of infants are actually born with some kind of a spinal cord or spinal injury.
Hmm.
Just the nature of giving birth, even if it's done all natural, there's a lot of trauma, there's a lot going on with the mother as well as with the infant.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times infants are born, and because they may not show symptoms of problems immediately, mm-hmm. they often come out in early childhood, mm-hmm. with colicky cases or digestive problems or, you know, different improper movements. So damage is done, you know, in 80% of the births that wow. occur. And you know, it's very important at, mm-hmm. at a young age to make sure that the nervous system is working. Yeah, and make sure that the nervous system is working and that the person can start to grow and develop.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Talia's an unusual name, at least I haven't heard it a lot, but does it have anything to do with, I read something that you spent some time over in Italy?
That's true. So after I graduated chiropractic school, during chiropractic school, I became interested and involved and very passionate about a certain technique within chiropractic, mm-hmm. called upper cervical care. Okay. And this technique only deals with the upper cervical spine, so the first few vertebrae in the neck. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful, very healing-inducive type of care. And there's only about 2,000 to 3,000 doctors that actually practice this way. Mm-hmm. There were several offices over in Italy. One of the doctors was moving out of their office in Sicily and moving down to Brazil. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, you know, I'll take that office. Mm-hmm. I'll jump there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they said, we'll set you up there. And they put me down in Sicily, and it was wonderful.
Wow. Well, so you had never been there before and just up and...
Just up and go.
Off to Sicily. So what was that like? All right, now, you weren't using your Portuguese over there.
Well, you know, that's a funny thing. I thought that it would translate.
Yeah, not.
So it did not happen. I'd show up, and actually the first day I was there, you know, I had an office full of patients, and I was like, well, you know, I understand them kind of. Mm-hmm. They probably can understand me a little bit. And so I just started speaking in Portuguese to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'd shake their head very politely. And on their way out, they would tell the receptionist, I didn't understand a single thing. And it was then where I was like, you know, I need to buckle down and learn this.
Yeah. Would it be better? Would they understand Portuguese more likely than English? Is that why you tried that?
Yes, that's why I tried it. Well, because a lot of the romantic languages are the same.
They're based on the same.
Yeah, especially Italian and Spanish and Portuguese. There's many words that are very similar. Right. Unfortunately, there's many words that are similar, but they don't mean the same thing either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we tried that. It did not work as far as speaking to them. And so I like I said, I buckled down and I started learning Italian and. Yeah, within a couple months, you know, again, I was without any mm-hmm. translator and just one-on-one with the patients.
Now, how long were you in Sicily?
I went down there at the end of 2012, mm-hmm. and we just came back about 6 months ago.
Okay.
So, you know, a good amount of time, enough to have some experience and enjoy some of the love of some of the European culture. Mm-hmm. Well, what really happened was the baby decided to come. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We didn't want to have this conflict of having the baby over there and the parents over here and the in-laws and not having a proper home for her. So we moved back, and
so that brought you back here. Awesome.
Brought us back here
to McKinney. And, and why McKinney?
So my in-laws live here in Allen, mm-hmm. and so it was just an easy transition to come here, and right. you know, it's their first grandchild, so mm-hmm. it's.
So you opened an office. Is it in McKinney?
It is in McKinney.
Okay, tell us about your office and where it's located, and something about you know, what are your typical patients coming in? And
sure, sure. So the office is right off of 75, right where all that construction is right now. Mm-hmm. It's between El Dorado and Virginia. It's in that big building mm-hmm. up on the hill.
Mm-hmm. It's where the Chamber of Commerce is located.
It's where the Chamber of Commerce is. I'm on the second floor there. So we do strict upper cervical care. So mm-hmm. if you come in, we're not going to roll you over and crack you on one side and then the other side. Mm-hmm. We use very, very precise methods in correcting the cervical vertebra. Mm-hmm. So much so that, you know, normally if you go to a chiropractor's office, they may take an x-ray of you and look at the x-ray and say, you know, look, this is what's going on. This is what we're going to do. We're going to crack you here and it's going to help you out. Mm-hmm. We actually, because we're so specific, we actually use what's called a cone beam CT image. Okay. So it's kind of an image that you would see at a dentist's office, the mm-hmm. kind that kind of spin around your head.
Yeah, all the way around.
Yeah, to be able to map out the way that they're going to implant teeth. We take that approach on the spine, mm-hmm. and with it, we are able to see the image, the actual image of your spine, be able to rotate it. It's almost like we could hold your spine in our hands and be able to look at the joints, be able to see how they're lined up, and be able to use a precise method to correct that.
Hmm. So is that imagery, is it still like a x-ray or is it 3D?
It's called a 3D image. Okay. It's a CT scan is what it is. Okay. And it's all, you know, it's in color. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just a black and white picture like a picture maybe your grandma may have. It's high. It's like a high definition image of your spine that you can almost touch.
Wow.
You can flip it upside down. You can look from the head down and look down into the spinal column and be able to see if there's any issues going on.
Are there a lot of other doctors that use that kind of equipment?
As far as chiropractic goes, no. This is something that, again, I spent time over in Italy to learn this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So am I the only one here in the United States? No, there's a few of us here in the United States, but it's becoming, because it's so powerful and being able to see what's going on, it's becoming a new method in helping people see their spine.
So who are the typical patients that come to you? Are they being referred by other doctors or chiropractors or, you know?
Yeah. So right now I am, we've had the practice open for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. So we are right now doing a lot of networking, doing a lot of speaking, trying to let people know that there is another option here. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we're not going to crack the neck. We're not going to crack anything. In fact, you know, I tell patients a lot of times, you know, there's two ways to get into a door. Mm-hmm. You can kick it down or you can use a key and unlock it. Mm-hmm. Why kick it down and go through that repetitive, you know, damage and whatnot that may be caused on the door when you can figure out exactly how to correct or how to open the door without, you know, the trauma that's induced mm-hmm.
Force. Obviously with this type of scan, everybody's got a unique neck. There's not a system, a standard system everybody's dealt with individually.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you might see?
So in our office, we'll see typical chiropractic cases. In fact, I only treat the upper neck, mm-hmm. but the number one case that comes in is low back pain. Mm-hmm. And again, your body is only, you know, it's one organism. So, you know, the head, the tailbone is connected mm-hmm, to the, mm-hmm. you know, the necks and it goes up the chain. So we see a lot of low back pain. We see a lot of neck and shoulder issues, tingling in the fingers and in the hands. We also see a lot of neurological cases, mm-hmm. headaches, concussions. Even people with high blood pressure find this to be very beneficial in decreasing their blood pressure.
Oh, wow.
So again, the brain is in control of everything inside your body. Mm-hmm. If there's interference because of a vertebra being out of position or because of this in this very sensitive area, correcting the vertebra or correcting the problem, correcting the cause, will allow the body to function better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
what are some of the causes that would bring on somebody needing to come in the first place? Is it accidents? Is it sleeping? Is it stress? Is it, you know, what are some of the commonalities that?
That's a really good question. So I guess the one thing that kind of plagues us all is stress.
Mm-hmm.
So stress is really what it causes enormous conflict within our body. I mean, as many people know, if you go through a very stressful time in your life, things don't work like they used to. You may be prone to being sick. You may be prone to, you know, emotional letdowns or emotional fallouts. So there's the three main stresses in life. There's, of course, emotional stress, or again, we work 40 hours a week. Do we ever relax? Do we ever rest? Do we ever take a time to pause? There's not many people that do. And so it builds up this emotional stress that can create some disharmony within the body.
Mm-hmm.
You have physical stress, which may be like an accident or a fall or some kind of a trauma to the spine. And then there's chemical stress. Mm-hmm. you know, we eat so much, you know, there's so much here in the United States that that can cause chemical problems within our body, not to mention all the pharmaceutical or all these extra things that we put inside our body that that stress our body and cause disharmony within
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I have a question. You're a cyclist. People have that I've talked to said they didn't like cycling because you got to keep your head up and it puts a lot of stress on their neck.
Sure.
So which is the better way to go? I've seen those recumbent bicycles. I've seen the, you know, basically the road bikes where you kind of have your neck jacked. And
sure,
I've seen the ones
sure.
where you're aerodynamic down. And, what is, I mean, what does that make sense? I mean, is
yep.
that the right posture for someone to be in when they're doing
Boy.
That kind of exercise?
Boy, when you get a bicycle, you make sure you, first of all, you don't just go buy one off the rack. You get it fitted for you. That makes all the difference, not only with how your neck is, but how the rest of your joints work.
Okay.
So like your knees and your hips, that cycling, if you're going for hours at a time, that's a lot of stress on your joints if it's not fitted properly.
Right.
For me, again, I prefer the mountain biking. That's we're upright.
You're upright, right.
So
and that seems to be the more common natural position, I guess, when
yep.
when you're riding a bike as opposed to being kind
yep,
of
all. As opposed to being hunched over. So, you know, as cycling on the road, you know, we'll... I guess I got to try it out since that's what
it's gotten kind of
that's
flat.
What the popular thing is here in Texas.
Well, and they, at least they've made it nicer for you now that the right-hand lane is dedicated and you can take up the entire lane, so
sure.
you don't have to get just on that 2 inches. On
yeah,
the
yeah.
Side
no,
of the road,
I've so. Ridden on the roads before. Sometimes it's a little questionable whether I want to stay on the road with a bicycle or not.
Right, right. When you're not bicycling and you're not changing diapers of a 3-month-old, what are some of the other hobbies or interests you might have?
Oh boy. You know, right now, most of my time is consumed between getting the practice going and time at home with our little baby.
Sure.
The weekends, you know, in Florida, my wife and I were kind of spoiled living right there on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
We would, in Florida, we would take 2-3 hour walks
right.
along the beach. And many times during the evening, you know, we'll still try to keep up with that and go on a little trail walk or
mm-hmm.
try to be out in nature. And
so for a guy that's spent a lot of time in the Northwest, where it generally is cooler, how have you survived the Texas heat?
Boy, well, I understand this year hasn't been quite as bad as it's been.
No,
in
we've
years
had some
past.
Record setters in the past few years, so this is kind of cool.
It hasn't been too terribly bad.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Sicily is a pretty mild climate. It would probably hang out at around the upper 70s
mm-hmm.
most of the year.
Oh, and so, idyllic. We call that San Diego. I like to tell people because that's just perfect temperature out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
What so, do you say to the person that says, you know what? I hear about chiropractic, but really I just do a lot of stretching and twisting and getting myself, I self-manipulate.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that or
yeah.
advice to people?
So I guess my first question is, why do you feel like there's that need to kind of self-manipulate or take your head and jerk it one way or the other or twist and pop? You know, maybe there is something going on inside the body that's just irritating and you're trying to find a comfortable
mm-hmm.
spot. There may be something going on where the whole body is kind of adapting to a certain position and you're trying to force it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a proper alignment, then there won't be so much discomfort and you won't feel the need to always wrench on your neck or twist your back.
Got it.
So, you know, again, it all goes back to the cause. Your body is intelligent. It knows what it's doing. It wants to find homeostasis. It needs some direction every now and then.
So tell the world, tell anybody coming to see you who Jason is as a person and what they can expect when they come to visit you.
Boy, well, right now I am relishing in the first 3 months of being a father
mm-hmm.
and really enjoying
you getting
that.
Any sleep?
You know, I actually get quite a bit of sleep. My wife seems to take on the role of night watch,
mm-hmm.
so you know, thankful to her. But you know, I love spending time with the little baby, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess the greatest thing that I could hope to be is a father,
mm-hmm.
And so that's
awesome.
Where I'm at right now.
Well, it sounds like you've got the experience and you've got the passion for chiropractic, so. I'm excited for you. I'm glad you were able to join me for the hour one-on-one. I think it's a great message that you can send out there to potential patients. And again, thank you for joining me for the Hour 101 podcast.
Well, thank you so much. This has been an honor for me.
All right, great. Thanks. Thanks again for listening to Hour 101, where connecting the world is our mission.